It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You don't even have to declare your independence with me. You know, you can do it on your own. I mean, if you can't do it on your own, then what kind of independence are you declaring? And again, you go, I declare my independence. See, they don't even need a government form. Easy, 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 easy. Okay, now let's go ahead and look at what you're not allowed to declare your independence when IRS is concerned. You're not allowed to get away. You're not allowed. You got buckets of money somewhere else. No, heck no. The reorganized unit of the IRS, this international, you know, Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act team, going to go get somebody's money. You know, the reorganized unit will also have a director focused for the first time on transfer pricing, a growing area of IRS scrutiny. Transfer pricing is a technique employed routinely and sometimes abusively, whatever that means, by multinational corporations to reduce their taxes by keeping profits offshore in low or no tax havens. The gall! And, I mean, you know, in another shift, the international examiners will no longer work according to industries and geographic areas, but instead will be assigned to specific high-priority cases. High money cases. See, usually the examiners, they'll go, you know, we work on, you know, this industry. You know, I'm dealing with, you know, Bill Gates stuff or something. And, you know, geographic area, okay, well, I get United States citizens and what they might be doing in Argentina or something, okay, or Switzerland or China or whatever, right? Nope. We're gonna assign a team of people to certain individuals. Here we go. The changes come after a shift last fall in which the IRS created within the core unit a division focused on wealthy individuals during a crackdown on tax evasion by affluent clients at the Swiss bank UBS. And they're going, ooh, we got a list of names. Larry R. Langdon, a former head of the large and mid-size business division, said that the latest shift underscored a great deal of focus by the IRS on international business, international people, and the global economy. Okay, in previous years, he said, the agency's domestic examiners and auditors had the last word on whether to pursue or settle specific cases against large multinational corporations, a power structure that frustrated the IRS's international examiners. And quote, he says, the domestic agent would say, I'm ready to settle, and the international agent would say no and lose. So what they're saying is that, you know, a lot of these wealthy guys, they're challenging this stuff, and they'd win, or they got, you know, people in high places or whatever, they want to have increased powers. Now, oh, no. We want this international, the, you know, we steal czar with the full backing federal government, Federal Reserve, IRS. We can go steal and take and seize and foreign accounts kind of because people, they got U.S. citizenship. This is why it's difficult for wealthy people to get joint citizenship or citizenship from other banks, especially if they're wealthy. The deal is, do not give them citizenship so that they get protections, you know, from this kind of abuse. You're not allowed to be free. You're not allowed. You know, you're like a cattle that went over the fence. You're like a sheep out of the pen. Oh, heck no. Here it comes. When do you fight back and how?
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. I want to finish on this IRS we're going to go get our money division, okay? Because keep in mind, we started off with the demographics. We have a lot of people that, you know, they were in their maximum earning years in probably the late 90s, getting into 2000 and so on. Now they're, you know, finishing putting their kids through college. They got nailed on that one right when the economy took a dump. They have all this, these investments in stocks and purchases of, you know, whatever. You know, and then half of it or three quarters of it went bye-bye to somebody. And then, and by the way, that kid that we just put in college, there's no job waiting for him. And the kids they're having, your grandkids, we're going to indebt them with a debt that we put on the taxpayers in the future to bail out all the banks that screwed you anyway. And don't forget, there's kind of this secret banking cabal thing that kind of emerged from AIG when the Federal Reserve Bank of New York just took all the money and started giving it out to their buddies. We haven't got to that part yet. You know, and the tax man cometh. And any of you that got anything over somewhere else, you didn't think you got away, did you? You know, so what if the people, what if the libertarians, what if the people that have absolutely no faith in government in general, here, there, anywhere, what do they do? How do they hide it? How do they skim it off? How do they, what do they do? Do they buy land and trust in Fiji? I mean, you know, do they put it at the bottom of, you know, treasure chest at the bottom of the ocean? Do they implant colored diamonds in their, under their skin? I mean, you know, what are they, you think I'm kidding? You know, what do you think they did in Nazi Germany? The Jews, man, they're big time diamonds. That's what the Marathon Man was all about with Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier. I think it was Laurence Olivier. And, you know, it was the whole thing was about, you know, this Nazi doctor that, you know, got all these diamonds and everything. Finally, he wanted to go get them, you know, and that's a long story. Marathon Man. You know, I can't even remember. But, you know, this is what's happening right now. We are Nazi Germany in the early 30s. Somebody explain to me the difference. Where's the difference? Wow, we don't have enough, you know, black-suited, armored, left jackboot, right jackboot on the jackboot on your throat party people? You know, not enough of that? All of a sudden, here comes this immigration thing. You know, yeah. Everybody, papers, please. Oh, don't think so? Well, I haven't convinced you yet. You know, it says, people stopped by this are presumed to be, you know, not to be an undocumented illegal alien if they provide one of the following documents. That's what it says. Well, we're going to be doing that at the Breakfast Club this Saturday. Bring it on. You know what? Protest me. Let's get all the people. Come on in. You get to have your say, man. We'll work it up. They're always polite, the libertarians, anyway, because half of us have sidearms. It just works out that way. Everybody gets to have their say when everybody's polite for one reason or another. So we have the former head of the large and mid-sized business division said that the latest shift underscored a great deal of focus by the IRS on international business, international people, and the global economy. International people. Okay. In previous years, he said, the agency's domestic examiners and auditors had the last word. Well, no, now they're going to be international agents going to have the last word. This is, wow. You know what this is like? This is, couple this with the ability of the executive to order assassinations of U.S. citizens overseas that are detrimental to the whatever is in the interest of the United States. Oh, didn't think those two were tied, did you? Oh, you starting to get it? You know, what if you were freaking dictator Musa Hitler Stalin? You know, I mean, what else would you want? Heck, even the U.S. Constitution gives them a whole bunch of this power. You know, it says we have the right to regulate international commerce or interstate commerce. So we have the right to eminent domain of all the property that you got here. We have the right to tax. We have the right to, and then in their section, Article 1, Section 8 or something down at the bottom, it says, oh, and Congress can pass all laws it needs to be able to enforce all this. Well, here you go. Like it wasn't planned. Of course it was. You know, this was the plan. You know, we rule you. And it's so obvious that you go, you know, is this new? They just make this up. You know, this all sounds familiar. Yeah. You know, freaking Egypt. You know, the tribes of Israel, all the monarchies in the medieval times, the serfs. What's the difference? The Catholic Church, it's all the same thing. We rule you. There is no solution until you understand that, you're of, that's another thing. Do we have time? Maybe within the next segment, long segment, we'll play a Stephen Molyneux. Does really good pieces, and he has a new YouTube that we put up this morning, and I'll load all this up in the archive for today. And you're he's like, man, get off grid. I mean, off the grid, off. No matter where you are, you just got to get out of the mindset of all this stuff. Well, here comes the secret banking cabal thing. They're going, this secret banking cabal, that control the country and the global economy. Of course, every conspiracy theorist you come in touch with that's got their ammo and peanut butter, that's what they say. But you know what? After this last week's congressional hearing and the bailout of AIG, you have to wonder if they're not crazy after all. This is New York Times. No. This is Bloomberg. Okay. Wednesday's hearing described a secretive group deploying billions of dollars to favored banks operating with little oversight by the public or elected officials. We're talking about the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, whose role as the most influential part of the Federal Reserve System, apart from the matter of AIG's bailout, deserves further congressional scrutiny. What? Congress going to get more green fees and hookers? We're going to have to. Oh, okay. Well, as long as it's a nice trip. Do you really think they're going to do anything? It's all veneer. It's all pretend. It's all because if they didn't, they just wake up dead, or they got, wads of cash stuff somewhere, or they're tax evasion. A lot of these guys are getting nailed in the press, whatever. Remember during the Clinton administration, it was a big scandal over Hillary and them had the access to the FBI files on all of Congress, all the guys in Washington. They keep FBI files? Well, I guess. Well, guess what? Clinton and friends got them. Why? For this kind of stuff. Anybody comes up against, oh, heck no. And you think, AIPAC might have got it? The Israel lobby might know who these guys are and what their weaknesses are. That's where Sibel Edmonds came in, the Turkish translator, after 9/11. Within 10 days after 9/11, she started coming in and listening to these tapes and just saw a bunch of congressmen being scummy. Listen to all that's what that whole thing was about. We put up yesterday the French documentary on Sibel Edmonds in English. They had to do it in France. Let me tell you what I heard. This is not in the media because why? Because they're part of the thing, man. I learned this in the early 90s. 88, 89. I go, oh, I get it. You're a PR department for the problem. Well, you got to be creative. You got to, go outside. How did they get away with this? They controlled election law. They controlled who got to be up there to complain. Who got to have access to the press? Who got to say, you may choose from communist candidate A or fascist candidate B. We don't care, comrade. So I got it a long time ago. Well, a lot of people starting to get it too. And of course, it's late, all your money's gone, but hey, wasn't for lack of me trying. The New York Fed is in the hot seat for its decision in November 2008 to buy out for about $30 billion insurance contracts AIG sold on toxic debt securities to banks, including Goldman Sachs. Merrill Lynch, Societe Generale, I guess that's probably French, and Deutsche Bank AG, among others. That decision, critics say, amounted to a backdoor bailout for the banks, which received 100 cents on the dollar for contracts that would have been worth far less, if anything, had AIG been allowed to fail. AIG was like this, this promise, pinky swear, we're going to give you some money on these insurance contracts that we have on these things that we know are going to go bad anyway. In fact, Goldman Sachs was the ones that were selling them. They're going, yeah, sell them all we want. Yeah, here you go. Well, just insure it with these guys, And then, of course, they sell them short and they get, guarantee when it goes down from AIG. Well, AIG was going out of business. They go, too big to fail. Congress, give them the money. Why? So they could give it to Goldman Sachs. Neon flashing obvious. We've been talking about it. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, I get a peacefully easy feeling with some Eagles, but let's just take a breath. Things are good for some people. They're doing all right somewhere. How about here?
Bear, Porsche is putting its 918 Spyder Hybrid into production. The car can go from 0 to 60 in about 3 seconds. It will be the most expensive car Porsche has ever sold. But it's not expecting big demand. Porsche built only 1,500 Carrera GTs, which sold for about $590,000. The company says the 918 Spyder will also have limited production.
Yeah, for $650,000. And it's just a two-seater little sports car. But it's a hybrid. Turbines and speed. Engage the electric motor along with, whatever, because they can't. And there's somebody that's going to be buying them. You know what? They're on the IRS's list. We're going to go, who bought? Oh, man, you definitely aren't paying enough taxes. Yep, here they come. Now, here we have, if AIG was allowed to fail, you would have had just bankruptcy of them, of course. The financial system would have, reset. You'd had all these assets that were at, 100 cents, for 100 cents on the dollar. They'd be what? I don't know, 30, none, something. The assets are worth, something until they're not. Well, what happens, they go, no. We're going to bail them out so that these contracts, these insurance contracts on these investments and so on, can be paid to who? To Goldman Sachs. Oh, that move came a few weeks after the Federal Reserve and Treasury Department propped up AIG in the wake of Lehman Brothers' owned mid-September bankruptcy filing. It didn't save Lehman. Now, he wasn't connected enough. He was too off the system enough. They, Goldman Sachs didn't have enough of it. So it's saving the system. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner was head of the New York Fed at the time of the AIG moves. Now, how do you get to be Treasury Secretary? I don't know. You do what the Federal Reserve wants you to do when you're head of the New York Fed. He was one of the boys. He maintained during Wednesday's hearing that the New York bank had to buy the insurance contracts known as credit default swaps to keep AIG from failing, which would have threatened the financial system. What about, truth, justice, American way, free market capitalism? What about saving the integrity of, thou shalt take the risk? You get the profit. When you screw up, you let me tell you how you regulate free market capitalism. You're allowed to fail, especially when you're big. The financial system had nothing to do with congressional protection system, or individual rights system, or American defend property, life, liberty, property system. That system, we don't care about that system. It's the financial system. It's the fleecing system. It's the shearing system. See my point? The hearing before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform also focused on what many in Congress believe was the New York Fed's subsequent attempt to cover up buyout details and who benefited. Of course, this is where Ron Paul's coming in, audit the Fed. He's like, they know. They know what happened. All this money went to a bunch of foreign, kind of went somewhere it shouldn't have gone. Or at least, you know, people went, what? What? Say what? You what? And when these grandkids grow up and they're going, oh, you're paying for who? This money's going where? We were indebted back when? I was in the womb and you gave me, no, heck no. Nope. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. I'm not playing anymore. By pursuing this line of inquiry, the hearing reveals some of the inner workings of the New York Fed and the outsized role it played in banking. This insight is especially valuable given that the New York Fed is a quasi-governmental institution that isn't subject to citizen intrusion such as freedom of information request, unlike the Federal Reserve. So the New York Fed, I guess it's a, you know, it's even more insulated than I guess the Federal Reserve. Okay, well, that's interesting. Maybe that's why it's doing all the stuff. This impenetrability comes in handy since the bank is the preferred vehicle for many of the Fed's bailout programs. It's as though the New York Fed was a black ops outfit for the nation's central bank. Well, do we need to go any further? I mean, on and on. We'll put this article in with the today's archive. I'll put that up here during the break. So this is, you know, is it starting to look organized? Is it starting to look planned? And it's, and I tell you, we did this because we started to just kind of our limited understanding of what was going on. We started looking at the transfer of ownership at the county recorder's office for a lot of these going into foreclosure. We don't know who owns it, who takes it, where's the, what good schools live in it and squat it, and heck, it'll be yours by default after a few years anyway. Kind of properties around here. I mean, literally, people are doing that. So we thought we would track one. Wow. Change of ownership, change, went over here, did this paperwork, kind of done, all of a sudden, boom, Delaware corporations. Let me tell you what that means. All of these just sitting out there, nobody knows who's gotten, who can foreclose, and who owns, and whatever, they're going to retroactively pass some laws that will create some kind of a default where all this stuff now belongs to somebody else. Just with filling out the paperwork, you're allowed, and on pennies on the dollar. If anything, it's going to happen. They did it before. It was called Resolution Trust Corporation.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com in Phoenix, Arizona. IA. Well, we're just prepping. You know, I mean, that's what, you know, a lot of us are doing. I mean, we're sitting here, we're having fun, we're playing politics and doing, but all of us are kind of, hey, you know, how much food you got? And you need to use my reloader? Got some ammo? You know, I found this deal at the blah, blah, blah. The Sportsman Internet kind of whatever has got a Czechoslovakian full medic pack for $19.99. How many do you want? I mean, these are the kind of conversations we have. You know, why? I don't know, why not? Oh, you can go to the feed store, veterinary hospital, you know, or you just go to the stock shop, you know, here in West Valley and you know, in the refrigerator for my horse. Yeah, yeah, I want that bottle of broad-spectrum antibiotics for my horse. You don't mind if I take a bunch of these syringes for 89 cents each, do you? Getting ready? Well, some people know enough that they're seriously getting ready. Well, there's a whole philosophy, you know, that's just, you know, we're done. We get it. And as you get a paradigm shift, as people start to go, how much does it take for you to realize that you've been lied to? That everything that, you know, they would get you all whooped up. Oh, we got this guy. He's saying the right thing. We got Russell Pierce saying that people take up arms in defense of liberty of the states versus the Fed as if that's any different. as they just did Fusion Center, local gendarmes going to be papers, please, to enforce federal law. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling, you know, like I'm separated from the Fed somehow. And when they just beg to federalize local law enforcement as part of the Fed, you know, this is, man, this is stinking thinking. You know, it's PR. It's a campaign. It's crap. And I know it, Russell. Hello, Russell. How you doing, man? You know, this Saturday at the Breakfast Club, oh, we're going to explain it to a lot of people you don't want to explain to. You're going to come get me? You're going to come visit? You're going to send somebody? If I'm lucky. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the philosophy of the next generation. Once you get off the reservation, once you start to realize that this whole farm was created to fleece you, and then those that got away, we're internationally, we're going to form banks. We're going to, man, you don't want to give these guys citizenship. You don't want to have them protect you because, you know, they get all kinds of messy in the court. We'll cost you all kinds of money. Man, we'll drag this all kinds of out. You know, they had on last night, you know, that's another thing. Dang it, maybe I'll have time to play that. Let's go ahead and get to this one because there was the WikiLeaks guy was on with Judge Napolitano yesterday. And Judge Napolitano asked him, he goes, do you think Obama now, the executive, has the power to just, you know, we just kill people? Are you worried that they'll send an assassination team after you? And he answered it pretty well. He goes, yeah, I don't think I'd be, you know, politically astute of them. But he goes, the fact that we're even asked a question, that we even think about that, that they even have that option, think about that. Ooh, something to think about. Well, here we have, you know, the governments are the center of the universe. You know, it's just like, you know, Stephen Molyneux goes on talking about in this video, he's making the comparison to where, you know, we used to think the Earth was the center of the universe. And then we find out not. We go through all these crazy calculations, anything we could try to justify that, and it never works. Well, the same thing's going to be happening with government.
Once the Earth was thought to be the center of the universe, with the planets and stars and the sun revolving around it. As observations improved, though, weird complications began to mess up this model, particularly the orbit of Mars. As the Earth goes around the Sun, Mars sometimes appears to move backwards as we overtake it. In a vain attempt to solve this problem, horrendously complicated circles within circles were created, tangling up the mathematics in an increasing kaleidoscope of endless overcomplexity. A few brave thinkers, and brave they had to be in those days, tried putting the Sun at the center of the solar system. Ah, then, everything fell into place at once. The crazy mess of the Ptolemaic system of circles within circles and equations piled upon equations evaporated in a moment. Only a few equations were now needed for perfect accuracy. The same simplicity and clarity and accuracy was revealed when navigators accepted that the world was round rather than flat, and when physicists accepted the Einsteinian argument that the speed of light is constant. Systems based on fundamental falsehoods always get more and more complicated as endless corrections and adjustments pile on in order to make them look more right. Every few generations, these accumulated errors become so ridiculously complex that the entire system becomes unsustainable and kind of embarrassing. Even the non-expert grasps that something must be fundamentally wrong with the whole mess. And a few brave souls take out a blank sheet of paper, push aside all their prior preconceptions, and start from scratch, based on reason and evidence rather than the accumulated errors of history. The central tenet of all systems of human morality is the non-aggression principle. We all learn it as children. Don't hit, don't push, don't hurt, don't steal. We learn that violence and bullying and threats are wrong, immoral, and only make whatever problem you're trying to solve worse. That's the rule we're taught when we're kids, and it's a good rule. Solid, logical, empirical. But then, when we get older, if we have the courage to see, we understand that this is not how adult society is run at all. In adult society, you have to pay a bunch of men and women your money, or they call on other men and women in blue costumes to come and take it. And if you try to defend yourself from this theft, they will shoot you. This is the reality of societies with governments. Your society. In statist societies, free exchanges between free adults that some people don't like can get you shot. If you get a job and try to avoid paying for a non-existent Ponzi retirement plan, you can be kidnapped and shot if you resist. If you break any of the hundreds of thousands of made-up rules about trade and barter, you get arrested. If you don't want to fund foreign dictators, you get arrested. If you don't want to pay for an evil war, you get arrested. And on and on and on and on. When we were kids, our teachers said, don't use violence. But if, as adults, we don't pay a government teacher's salary, we get arrested. As we grow up, the more we look around, the more we see that every law is a gun. And guns are everywhere in the adult world. And that using violence to get what you want is the foundation of the society we live in. So, which is it? Is violence good or bad? Our statist system has become so ridiculously complicated because it has, like the Earth-centered model of the solar system, a fundamental error right down at the root of it. This error is the belief that violence is the best way to solve complex social problems. The delusion that if you point enough guns at enough people, run up enough debt using the unborn as your collateral, kidnap and enslave enough free souls, that the world will just get better and better and better. How's that working out for us? The tax code. Aggressions against free trade and personal consumption, the endless multiplying laws governing every aspect of our waking lives, these are like the circles within circles of the Earth-centered model of the solar system. The only end to that increasing complexity is total collapse. When you recognize that increasing complications reveal core errors at the root of a false system, you will see that the non-aggression principle needs to move to the center of our virtues, of our morals, of our society as a whole. Like the sun itself, it needs to be fixed at the center of everything we do. The non-aggression principle cannot orbit a primitive, violent hierarchy that we actually inherited from apes and cavemen. Think of it. A society without organized violence. Without the threat of state coercion, without institutional kidnapping and theft and imprisonment, without taxation and the thieving predation of state fiat currency, counterfeiting. Does that make you dizzy? It should. When the sun was moved to the center of the solar system, where it actually is, it was disorienting to everyone at the time. Just as the time and space relativity of Einsteinian physics was disorienting, just as evolution is disorienting to many, and quantum physics messes with the head of anyone who really grasps it. In the face of ancient falsehoods, the truth is often dizzying and confusing and alien and freaky. When we place the non-aggression principle where it should be, at the center of morality and society, beliefs we have held for tens of thousands of years suddenly evaporate. The ancient era of the morally justified state crumbles into its component atoms of evil. The dizzying and multiplying complexity of law upon law, gun upon gun, murder upon murder, all this ugly mess is revealed as hysterical attempts to cover up the core crime of justified institutional violence. The myth of the social contract is revealed as a gun to the necks of the unborn. Laws are exposed as well-armed prejudices. Taxation is revealed as theft, lobbying as bribery, arrest as kidnapping, governments and armies as the most successful criminal gangs, and schools as violence-fueled indoctrination camps for helpless and dependent children. It is disorienting. It is confusing. It is frightening. It is dizzying. And it is true. The sunlight of reason and morality and truth is essential. It must be at the center of everything we do. Because in society, just as in the world, the sun is either going up or it is going down, perhaps to a night without another sunrise. Whether the dim light of our modern world is a sunset or a sunrise, that is up to you.
Yeah. Stephen Molyneux does a great job. Met him up at the Porcupine Festival in New Hampshire a few weeks ago. And we're working on signing the contract for him to be a speaker at the Freedom Summit this year, first weekend in December, 3rd to the 5th. This is would I call it a movement or just a realization? There is an entire generation. This was the miscalculation that Dr. Paul made. When he wanted to do Campaign for Liberty, and initially it was going to be Ron Paul Foundation or something, it eventually became the Campaign for Liberty, and he transferred $6 million from his campaign, because you can do that. That's one of the reasons why he suspended the campaign, is so that you have access to this money. They had a bunch of money to spend, but they were like $6 million. People gave money because he was going to go to the convention, and he goes, no, I'd rather take this $6 million I got left and put it in and start Campaign for Liberty. A lot of people didn't like that. I tell you, it was the revolutionaries, you know, the anarchist types, the ones that were out there busting butt, they're like, oh, heck no. But there are a lot of the Republican types, the political types, the ones that, you know, want to use politics and get power and get a job. You know, and I had opportunity. I mean, you know, I was, you know, at the center of a lot of that. They really would have, I could have parlayed my efforts into whatever, but I just knew better. I'm like, no. This is not the path that I'm on. Now, I already know how it's so broke that nobody's – you want to use the campaign process to point out how bad it is. You know, I'm hip to that. But to ever think that you're going to fix it is to be naive or deceptive. So where's Ron on this? I don't know. You know, it's in our private conversations, I don't even bring it up. I'm just like, you know, I'm glad somebody's there doing what he does. So, cool. I will benefit from that. It's all good. But I will not help bring people into another collective or another organization in support of, you know, this government and what they're doing, thinking that you're going to be able to fix it from the inside, because you're not. Stephen Molyneux represents a lot of people. He's just one of them. You know, it's like me, Stephen, there's all kinds of people like this all over. And he does a really good job of this. Over the last couple of years, he's been doing these YouTubes, and he has a gazillion followers of his channel. So every now and then, you know, he'll do a new one. We'll put it up. And you should go watch all of them. It's called Free Domain. Let me see. What's he called this? And it's Free Domain Radio. And it's Free Dumb A-I-N. So Free Domain Radio. You go to YouTube and you just type in Free Domain Radio, and you'll have all this stuff up there. And there is an entire generation that is abandoning this system. Were you counting on them to be your slave, to reconstitute your pension funds, your portfolio, your Social Security, your Medicare, your national insurance? What were you counting on them to do? Were you going to make them? Were you going to use a gun?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. I'm getting you all set up here on the site. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, and after we put up the archive up there, you'll be able to have it at the top of the page at freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll go in, you'll see all the stories and the links to the stuff that we were doing today. And because I have the power. And you can share this stuff, because today was a good kind of, you know, tapestry of, you know, here it comes. Those are what we're talking about. I mean, there's still $650,000 Porsches being built. There's somebody going to buy them. And where'd they get that money? And the IRS is now reorganizing to go after the people that could buy that Porsche. You know, and a lot of, but if it's their buddies, their banks, their guys, they're good. Don't worry about it. It's anybody else that got away. You deliberately ducked. You are so not allowed. And they're going to use force, coercion, whatever. But now, what are they? Who's going out against them? Where are they getting information? You know, shows like this and websites like Freedom's Phoenix and so on. But the traditional media, they're choking, man. They're coughing up blood. From Zero Hedge, they have a story. This was put, you know, it's making it all over the place, you know. But Wall Street Journal had an op-ed piece on it, and this is what the Daily Capitalist writes on ZeroHedge.com. Jack Gregson uses them a lot and puts stuff up. They got a lot of good stuff. I almost choked when I read Lee Bullinger's op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal advocating public financial support of the mainstream media. This is the Lee Bullinger who is the president of Columbia University and was recently named deputy chair of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. Who's the, you know, the deputy chair of the Federal Reserve Bank, and he is president of Columbia University, right? That's what he's got to say. The article says more about the writer and the mainstream media than does its subject matter. It is unbelievable and irresponsible that anyone in his position could seriously advocate subsidies for the press. What Professor Bullinger is saying is that he wants us to pay for news from journalists he thinks we should read, not what we think we should read. As a law professor, he is an expert in First Amendment issues. If he is an expert, then he is the exemplar of the problem with scholarship and intellectualism in America today. He obviously distrusts our ability to make choices about the news we wish to read, and he is eager to supplant his judgment for ours. If he believes that forcing us to pay for news services we don't want is the key to constitutional freedoms and freedom of the press, then we are in trouble because he is in a position to do something about it. He frames the debate in these terms. Now, this is the guy that president of Columbia University, deputy chair of New York Federal Reserve Bank. This is op-ed in Wall Street Journal. This is where we're going. All right. We have entered a momentous period in the history of the American press. The invention of new communication technologies, especially the internet, is transforming the human capacity to speak, perhaps as monumentally as the invention of the printing press in the 15th century. This is facilitating the largest and fastest expansion of global economic growth in human history. Free speech and a free press are essential to a dynamic economy. At the same time, however, the financial viability of the U.S. press has been shaken to its core. The proliferation of communications outlets has fractured the base of advertising and readers. Newsrooms have shrunk dramatically and foreign bureaus have been decimated. My best estimate is that there are presently only a few dozen full-time foreign correspondents from the U.S. covering all of China, despite the critical importance of that nation to our future. Let me translate what he's saying. Competition thrives because a new media, yet since newspapers and television journalism has failed to innovate and keep up, we must subsidize them because their reporting sucks. So I'm here it comes. They're already starting it. They're testing the water, dipping their toe in. It's not whether they want to do it. They're going to do it unless something can stop them. But what? Who? How? They're just, you know, it's a fait accompli thing, man. Money will be going to the traditional lamestream media, whether we support it or not, just like they gave a bailout to AIG. And what are you going to do about it?